Good morning again. I was staggered. That worked. We are in the middle of a 3-week sermon series that's actually getting split up by a couple sermons, but it's a follow-up to this 30 days of prayer that we asked the church to a couple months ago, as we kind of talk about what's the future of the church, what's the future of the built of the future facility, and it's brought up we should raise the church in prayer for 30 days, and so we did. And then the elders talked, church councils talked, and trying to move forward. And we asked the congregation if there's any words that they got from the Lord, and three things came out that were broad, but I think they were pretty clear to what we need to do moving forward. And the first one Don talked about a couple weeks ago, it was obedience to God. We need to have full obedience to God, right? And then today we're going to look at humility in our work. And then in a couple weeks, we're going to look at unity of purpose. So that's the context of where this sermon came from. And I'll just say it right off the top. Don had these scriptures put in, and I use this, and I've been wrestling, and it's actually been really good for me as I've studied this. We're going to look at Barnabas a little bit and how that fits into humility. And I think it's a good challenge, and it's a good look for all of us. So today, that's my hope, that we will be a little bit more like Barnabas in the way that we live out our humility. So let me pray as we get started. Lord God, we thank you for this day, and I pray that you guide my mouth, guide my words. May everything honor and glorify you. So I give you this time, and may may you mold all of us into being more like you, Jesus. In Jesus' name that we pray this. Amen. So humility in our work. We did foot washing here a few weeks ago. It wasn't that long ago. And I think for the most part, we kind of get what it means to be humble, right? What it means to have humility. And so the great example is washing one another's feet. One of those less than desirable things. Getting down on your knees and cleaning somebody's feet, whether they are spotless clean or if they got bumps and bruises or whatever it looks like. It's an act of humility. And I think we'll get to this more, but obviously Jesus showed the ultimate act of humility in the act of laying down one's life for another. That's showing ultimate humility, putting others before yourself. But we're going to look at Barnabas today and maybe get a few more ideas of what humility can look like in our lives. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 4 and then move around from there. If you want to turn there, feel free to. And so the first thing I'm going to bring up, I have 4 points. First one is we need to become sons of encouragement. There's this descriptive thing in parentheses in most of your Bibles on Acts chapter 4 that says Barnabas is what the apostles called him. His name was Joseph, but they called him Barnabas, which means sons of encouragement. And as you can see up there, that word encouragement in Greek is paraklesis. I said that really poorly. Paraklesis. Which actually means consolation, exhortation, comfort, encouragement would be another word. And it adds more to that because it says, which brings refreshment. We need to become sons of encouragement just like Barnabas. And we'll look at kind of how he did that. But it's more than just encouraging one another. Anybody can encourage one another, right? But consolation, exhortation. It actually brings them to do something. It brings about some kind of movement in their life. And there's also that feeling of they're down. They need comforted. And we think of God, Jesus, as a great comforter, right? But it moves us to something. So we need to be encouragers that bring refreshment. We need to walk with those that are hurting. We need to address somebody emphatically, urging them to do something. It's more than just, hey, I hope you have a great day. It is spurring somebody on to follow Christ more fully in whatever it is. Acts chapter 11, verse 24, says this about Barnabas. It says he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And right before that, he is addressing Antioch. In verse 23, it says, when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he, in my version it says, he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Man, that's the kind of guy I want to be. I want to be that guy that's exhorting them to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. As a church, can we encourage one another to remain steadfast? Steadfast purpose, and to remain faithful to the Lord. I love Barnabas' example. We could go on talking about Barnabas. He wasn't perfect. Galatians 2:13 says how he was actually led astray. But Paul still took him on a whole bunch of these missionary journeys. That's a little side note on that, but Barnabas was a son of encouragement. And may we, in our humility, be encouragers to one another. Next thing I think he shows so clearly, and again, it's back in Acts chapter 4. I say that we live to give. We give without concern for ourselves. We have a generous attitude. It's an act of humility, of showing humility. So it's an amazing story how everybody is sharing everything that's in need. And in verse 37 of chapter 4, Barnabas sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And that is an amazing picture. We're not saying this was rich Iowa fertile ground that might be worth well over $7,000-$8,000 an acre, but can you imagine being so fully committed to the church that you would sell a field? Farmers, can you imagine this commitment? Not worrying about your future income, but being so fully committed that you would sell a field. It's amazing testimony. The passage right after this, I think I need to mention. Beginning of chapter 5, it's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And without going into detail, they did the same thing. They sold a piece of a property, and they gave money to the church. It's a great thing, right? But the problem was they kind of lied about it. And they end up both dying right there in front of everybody. They lied about saying that they gave everything that they had received to the church. Again, this isn't about them having to give all of the money, but it's the fact that they took some gain from themselves when they said they gave it all to the church. Does that make sense? Without going into detail on the story. They didn't do it out of humility. They did it out of a self-gratifying nature. But when we live to give, when we live, no matter if it's big or small, we have that attitude of generosity. Like the widow's mite. It doesn't matter how small it is. She gave out of the right heart. Next thing. And this comes from Acts chapter 9, and it's another thing that Barnabas did. He was willing to put his neck out for others. And I think this is an amazing testimony of what it looks like to have humility. So if you know the story of Saul or Paul, his name has changed to Paul. Saul is persecuting Christians. He does not believe in the way. He does not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. This is early on in the church, and he is literally a part of the crowd that is stoning Stephen to death, that is killing and trying to get rid of all these people that are trying to follow Jesus, follow the way. And so he has this amazing conversion. And that's described in chapter 9. And as we get near the end of chapter 9, Paul is beginning to preach this gospel, the good news about Jesus, salvation through Jesus. Verse 27, chapter 9, says, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus." And then Paul went in and out among them in Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. Okay, do you realize how significant this is? Can you imagine someone that is persecuting you, literally is killing you, trying to kill you, and now Barnabas is bringing Paul in saying, "Hey, this is the guy that is going to bring the good news to the Gentiles. Like, we need him." Can you imagine this actually happening? I was trying to put it in like a context that maybe we'd be able to understand, and the picture that I got is, this is totally silly, but I got this picture of Barack Obama and Donald Trump. One of them switching political sides, and then the other one vouching for him and say, "Hey, he's going to do great things in our party." Can you imagine that happening? This has nothing to do with politics, obviously, but can you imagine somebody switching over from something that's obviously very polarizing in our society, switching all the way over, and then somebody on the other side saying, "This is our guy. He's going to do great things in our party." Except for this is even bigger than that, because he is literally killing people on your side. It's pretty significant, right? I could use other silly examples. I could say like Matt Stutzman or any other big Cardinals fan getting a Cubs shirt and coming to a Cubs party that I have for the World Series, and me saying, "This is the number one Cubs fan right there." Right? Not happening. Not happening. A little less significant than someone that is persecuting the Christians. Anybody have a spouse that has a really annoying habit? Maybe it's like your spouse saying, "Hey, I love this habit that you have. I love that you pee on the seats, and I'm going to start doing that as well." And yes, we're on the same team. We could go into any other gross habits that you might have or annoying habits. Some of you might have spouses that always leave the lights on, and you're always having to shut it off, and you're saying, "You know, I'm going to start leaving the lights on too. This is great. trying to not list off things that my wife and I deal with. She trained me well very early on the seat raising and closing. Anyway, Barnabas, as an encourager, he puts his neck out and he brings Paul in to the church and gives him this platform so then he can preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And we all know the amazing things that Paul did reaching out to the Gentiles across the world. I think we have a big challenge in putting our neck out for others. I've talked to a lot of leaders, I think, in this community, and they would say that we have some of the most supportive people in our area. And I'm not just saying inside the church, but we have people that support generously, financially, with their time. But then there's also this lack of trust in leaders. And whether this is a coach, a teacher, a pastor, a business leader, elders, we might say that we trust them and we support them, but then we very easily question the decisions that they make. And beyond questioning them, we might even start gossiping about them, or we might just take a jab at them behind their backs. I don't think that's the kind of guy that Barnabas was with Paul. He said, "Your past is behind. I see the great things that you're going to do, and I got your back." And in humility, is that the kind of people we can be in the church? People that encourage one another, that support one another, that don't talk behind each other's backs. It's pretty hard in the Mennonite community, right? Barnabas knew Paul was going to do great things in the kingdom of God. So he stuck his neck out and believed in him and helped him in his mission. So that's Barnabas. A few things that I pull out, which are just great examples of humility. And the last thing I want to share is just a general thing that we need to do, and that's boast in Christ. Not boast in ourselves, but boast in what Christ is doing, what Christ has done. A few weeks ago, actually, I'm going to read these scriptures and I'll say this. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But he said to me," and this is the Lord saying to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I think some of the most powerful testimonies are when people are weak. When they're weak, when they're struggling, when they're sick, and then they talk about what Christ is doing. That's the power of Christ. And it's a great witness to who he is. Galatians 6:14 says, "But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." Jesus gave us the ultimate humility. He showed us he's the one that we can boast in. Amen? So a few weeks ago, this is my story as we close up. Alyssa had Gonzalez had a recital here, and this was really pretty. I think it's beautiful the way it's up here today. And it was really pretty, and it had this curtain that was here. And I think Lindsay helped with that, right? It was beautiful, and I'm not taking anything away with that from that, but there was something that bugged me. And it was because I would look up here, and the cross was just a little bit faded. I don't know if that anybody else noticed that or if it bugged you. And again, I'm not taking anything away from what was done, but I love what Jesus did on the cross. And there's an amazing passage in Matthew 27:51. And it says how when Jesus died on the cross, that curtain was torn in two. You see, before then, they had these temples and people would worship in the temple, and there was only places, there were places that everybody could go, and then there was places only the priest would go. And then behind the curtain was the Ark of the Covenant, and it was the holiest of holy places. And once a year, only once, the high priest would be able to go back there. And it was the Day of Atonement, and this was all part of the sacrifice that we continually had to do to be able to get right with God. And so almost like it is today, it's like the curtain is gone. God is right there in front of us. That curtain was 60 feet high and 30 feet wide. It wasn't a see-through curtain. But it was torn, and it signified the separation between God and His people was no longer there. No longer would there be regular blood sacrifices for sins, because Jesus came as that blood sacrifice and died once and for all. So who can we boast in? We can boast in Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross, the one whose icon we have up here, and we get to look at every single day. And the ultimate way that we walk in humility is boasting in Christ. God might do some amazing things in our lives, and do we take credit for it, or do we say, this is because of what Christ has done? Christ on the cross. Curtain is torn. It's just us and God. Because of His ultimate humility. So we're going to become champions of encouragement as a church, walking with each other, supporting each other. We're going to live to give. We're going to live with generous hearts. We're going to put our necks out for others. And we're going to boast in Christ. What a church it would be. Let me pray. Lord God, we love You. We boast in the fact that You died on the cross for our sins. And everything we gain in this own world is rubbish compared to knowing You and living for You. God, it's because of what You did that we can be true encouragers. It's because of Your power that people can move. It's because of Your power that we can be fully encouraged, that we can have hope, that we can have a greater purpose. So we praise You for that today, God. And I lift up everybody here, those that need encouragement. I pray that maybe they'll reach out to somebody, and that whoever they reach out to, they'll be that salt and light. We love You, God. So we go forward today. May we share that love with others. It's in Jesus' name we pray all this. Amen.